I don't know about you, but I think, I believe and think that the internet should be a safer place. Well, what if I told you that there's a tool that can do just that? A safer internet where you don't have to monitor every single thing that your kids do or that you stumble across, whether it's a fake site or not a fake site. This tool is called BlockP. It blocks adult websites, but also blocks those fake websites that you might say, hey, this domain is for sale, and hackers try to hack all that information or try to scam people out of the information. It also protects, and it uses AI to protect against other malicious stuff and other garbage that people may stumble across the web. And you know, I thought to myself the other day, why is the internet not a safer place? Well, it's because there's money involved, and some kind of certain content drives more money. Everything has to do with money. And what I like about this tool is that it uses AI to built into the tool, so there's no false positives, and it's the only tool that lets you password set a Chrome extension or even or an Android app settings, etc., so you can bypass it easily. Give it a try. Go to BlockP and download on Google Play or iOS or in your web browser on whatever web browser you use, and let them know what you think of the tool. They always listen to your feedback, etc. Great company, and they have great things ahead of them, etc. Take them out. Take a test one, check it out. It's free, and let me know what you think. And it's called BlockP. Go check them out.
Welcome to Crazer Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast, where we strive to motivate people who are on the autism spectrum to live healthy lifestyles. If you think this podcast is only for people who are autistic, then think again. Whether you are autistic or not, we have a mix of content from healthy living to everything in between that makes up a balanced and healthy life. Autism is our backbone, and we strive to support the autism community by motivating, inspiring, and educating everyone about what autism is. Please welcome your host, Jimmy Clare, who is a motivational speaker, autism advocate, author, and founder of crazyfitnessguide.com.
And without further ado, let me invite my two amazing guests on here. You'll probably remember Hermes as one of them, and my friend Tucker.
Hi there, how we doing?
What's going on, everybody?
So, before we get started, how about you guys tell the audience a little bit who you are and what you do? Try to keep it like 5-10 seconds long, Tucker.
All right. So, in the best shorter things, I'm a keynote speaker, but for what I do for a living is I help people repair their credit, and I help people with investing with a unique banking opportunity that's not controlled by the government.
Snap, Tucker. So I guess I need to hit you up for your specialties because I'm Hermes Auslanda. I run a podcast, Scuttlebutt Podcast, where we talk about things in the military that we're not supposed to talk about. I'm an artist. I'm a friend of Jimmy's. This is the second time I've been on. I appreciate you having me on, Jimmy.
Definitely.
It's going to be fun.
And I don't know if you guys, when we had Hermes back on last year, I was in a hotel, so.
You're waiting for your food.
Yeah, and I kept on sharing my breakfast bars on the screen. I'm sure that I still not get compensated from that. Darn it.
Hermes, you need to turn your camera, bro. We can't see you.
That's actually intentional, Tucker. So again,
really?
as active duty military, I have to stay mostly anonymous. There's a long story and history into all of that, which everybody can, you know, we can talk offline about that. But yeah, this the hands is all you get, as Jimmy and I were talking about backstage.
Yeah. It needs to be a hand model.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should wear the anonymous mask,
right? And throw up the guy. There was actually a Halloween episode we did where I painted my face and like had a Bob Ross like whole thing. That was a lot of fun, but that's the only time. That's the closest you're going to get to seeing my face.
That adds to the mystery, right? Right.
Okay, so let's get back on topic. Maybe. Okay, how do I want to start? Okay, let's start by what. So, for those who have seen Avatar: The Last Airbender, and not the movie, the worst movie that was ever made on planet Earth. I said it. It literally was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Why?
Because it was terrible.
Dragon Ball was pretty bad too. It was right around the
same. That one. Ooh,
Dragon Ball. It's. I mean, those two are like. Ooh. I don't know. Ask me tomorrow, and they might change. But they're those two are neck and neck.
Well, okay. So you're here's okay. I'm gonna start this way. What was your worst part of Avatar? About the Last Airbender movie, and then we can dive into the TV show that everybody adores and loves.
Okay. Are you asking me or him?
Yeah, who we go first?
Chime in, I don't care.
Tucker, you go, because I feel like mine is going to be kind of controversial.
Rita, what?
Okay, I did not like the fact that Aang's name is Aang, not Aang. Mm-hmm. And that like in the show, if it, I get that it's a movie and you gotta do something, but if you're gonna make a movie about a show that everybody loves, make it everything the same. And there were a few aspects in the show or in the movie that didn't line up with the show at all. Off the top of my head, I'll think of them in a minute because it'll come to me. But I remember watching the movie and certain things I would be like, that's not how that works. First of all, one of the things that I think, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but firebenders in the show were able to generate fire with their own chi and control the flame that's around them, and it could come from their breath. Whereas in the movie, other than the old master, they had to have these big fireballs where they grab the flames from and use them on everything.
Well, they had cauldrons and they had tiki torches. No wonder why they lost in the movie.
That was my only really rebuttal, I guess.
Yeah,
that's your only one. Are you sure?
I mean, if I watched the movie over again, which I tried to do right before this podcast, so I'd be refreshed, but I fell asleep like 10 minutes in. And I don't know if that's a testament to anything, but that's definitely what happened.
crying and laughing at the same time.
There was a few things, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Okay, how about we take it to Hermes then?
So I gotta agree with Tucker there in that the like a big problem was inconsistency in the movie, but like to me the bigger problem was the movie as it's like cannot stand by itself. So imagine if the TV show never existed, you would look at the movie and be like, what are you even doing here? Like, first of all, the actor that played Aang, which I agree with Tucker, it's Aang, not Aang. Like, I don't know why they had to, like, you had source material that you pulled from that set up a whole.
I know why, but I'll say
it. Oh, you know, see, I know you
probably pronounced Aang or something.
Yeah. What is that?
Ruin it, Morris.
Yeah.
Come on, Santa.
Yeah.
You want me to ruin it? Okay. The reason why they did such a terrible job, it was on purpose, because M. Night Shyamalan, he watched the original series and he said, I don't like it, so I'm going to redo it myself.
What? And
yeah, really, he did not like it, and yet he thought his version was going to be better.
Okay, let me change my answer.
Know what he was smoking?
Yeah, let me change my answer. I have no other problems other than the director M. Night Shyamalan, because the fact that he thought he knew better than a beautiful series that I don't expect it.
Well, I figured out what the problem was. Like, actually, his name is M. Night Shyamalan, and he thought that he was a knight of the Round Table, and when he found out that it just really wasn't a thing, he got really butt hurt and he had to go after somebody, and we caught the end of the stick, guys. I think that's what happened.
The math checks out, Tucker. I wholeheartedly agree with this.
That's historically accurate.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thanks to our sponsorship with Deep Stash. You're probably wondering, what the heck is Deep Stash? Well, Deep Stash allows you to learn new stuff every single day. You can become the smartest person in the room with unlimited access to 200,000 plus powerful ideas from top books, podcasts, and more. They have a generous free plan. And if you want to check them out, click the link below in the podcast descriptions. Either or will work. But definitely check them out, because if you're a daily learner like me and like to learn new stuff, I don't always have time to read 11-minute articles or 15-minute articles during the day. So with Deep Stash, I can listen to them on the go while I'm driving the car or on an airplane, etc. So go check out my friends at Deep Stash. You won't regret it.
Okay, so before we dive into the Avatar, The Last Airbender TV series, I'm just going to share with my part of why I absolutely hated the show in pretty much in probably like 5 seconds. I just think everything was terrible, from the whitewashed acting, and I really feel bad for the actors because they probably will never get another job in Hollywood ever again.
Right.
That should be M. Night Shyamalan's fault, because he whitewashed everybody in that show. I mean, in that movie.
What is whitewashing?
Well,
they didn't play nobody of ethnicity outside of, like, who? I think Prince Zuko was, like, is he traditionally like Indian or something? Like,
he's gotta be something.
But he was literally like Katara was like of Slovenian or like Slovakian origin, and like Noah Ringer, I don't even know what you would call it.
Well, and what I mean by whitewash as well, they didn't have like any personalities. They all just like monotone.
Noah was the worst actor. Have you seen him in anything else? Honestly, I can't.
Which one's Noah?
That's Aang or Aang.
In the film, Aang.
Excuse me. Yeah, I don't think off the top of my head, unless he was like in a commercial as like a super young kid.
I haven't seen him in anything. But I will say, as a martial artist myself, I will say that he either already knew something, or he had a lot of training for that movie, because he was doing a lot of Tai Chi and his form was beautiful.
Well, as a martial artist, more in the wrestling and karate sect, Tai Chi isn't necessarily good for much other than theater.
Not as a combat sense, in a theater sense. What he was doing, like, obviously Tai Chi isn't something you use in combat at all, but my point is that that when it comes to form, like it, he practiced what he was doing a lot. Like, I mean, it was it, in comparison to if you watch people who do Tai Chi on a normal basis, the guy was hitting them on point. You know what I mean?
Totally. I feel like it translates to like kata in karate is what it's called. It's basically just a combat dance. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. for using anything. And yeah, it takes a certain level of skill. Just like in Hugh Jackman in The Fountain spent like, I don't even know what it was, like 6 weeks or 6 months or something, like practicing a 30-second, you know, scene. It was just to make sure that he had the exact form of the, but like, let's be real though. At the end of the day, did anybody show up to see Avatar the film for the
I didn't know it was that bad until Jimmy reached out to me and he was like, he's basically reaching out to me. He's like, this is a monstrosity and we have to murder it. I'm like, what is it? He was like, come with me.
I don't think I ever used those words in one sentence, but okay.
No, it wasn't exact. But no, in my head, I was like, what are we doing here?
He's getting crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to the TV series. What were your favorite episodes of Avatar The Last Airbender and why?
You go first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or Tucker?
Either one. Just not me.
Just not Tucker. If you want me to go first, Jimmy, I want to go with something closer towards season rather than episode because I know you've seen it more than I have. So again, I can't name every episode off the top of my head. There's just no way. I saw it when it was first airing back on Nickelodeon when I was like, you know, I was like 9 years old, 10 years, however old I was. So I couldn't tell you what each episode was, but I want to say it was. Gosh, now I have to kind of like sit down.
Was that 100 years ago?
Almost, pretty damn close. I want to say it was the first season. I think it was the end of the first season when Aang was. Now I'm like second guessing myself. I want to say it was the first season when Aang was on the ship with the Fire Nation's Navy in like the when he first went up to study waterbending and everything. And I want to say it was the end of the first season when he actually first goes Avatar, like actually gets into the essence of Avatar and actually shows like the power that we had all been waiting. Because like it had teased in like the intro.
That's
and everything.
Exactly what I was going to point out.
What's that? But that was your favorite part? Like when he finally like goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me as like a kid, as a kid growing up when they are teasing this like ultimate, you know, being or like power source that is Avatar, like this ultimate thing that we're waiting for throughout the show. And they're getting like little hints as it builds into the very, I want to say it was the final season. It might've been the beginning of the sec. No, I want to say it was the final season. And then it actually goes and does it. And you see it as a kid. You're just like, holy crap. This is the coolest thing I have. Like it's right up there with like Dragon Ball Z. When you first see, you know, Goku, like go Super Saiyan, you know, 3 or whatever. Like you finally get a final transformation. Like, holy crap. This is a level above what I've seen up to this point. This is a classic anime, right? Where it's like, you can't go any higher than this. And they do. You're just like, oh my gosh. Like I've never, when I saw that, I to this day, I'm just like, that gives me chills. Just thinking about that. I'm like, holy crap. And then he destroys the whole Navy. It's just like, wow. All right.
End of season one.
Season one. Okay. I was second guessing myself, but I was like, I'm only second guessing myself because I know Jimmy is going to correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, like that, I'm also going to be watching it again. So
I like when he does that. And also, I mean, like when he first, I don't know if he had first realized it, but whenever he first, you tapped into serious water bending, like when he made the sea, and I'm thinking referring to the same,
I think so,
thing. He made the sea take out all the ships.
Yeah.
And then that, and when one of the things that I really, really enjoyed is whenever he whooped the Fire Lord and took away his power. That was big for me because of the symbolism behind it.
Was that the last season?
Yeah, it's whenever he had
the last season
surrounding him. He was in Avatar state, and he busted through a bunch of rocks, and he took his power.
Yeah, I know. That would have been my second choice for sure.
You know, I was trying to think of this like literally all week of trying to figure out what my favorite episode would be, and I came up with two conclusions, and. I'm going to cheat here, and I'm going to say one of my favorite episodes, just because it cracks me up every single time that I watch it. And it's A Cave of Two Lovers, where Aang was going to Amash, trying to go to Amasha to learn earthbending from King Bumi. But the reason I like it was because these nomads that just travel around just playing music, and they just crack me up every single time because they just get on Sokka's nerves and everything, and it just cracks me up. And throughout the whole episode they're just playing music, and like they don't even care where they're going and whatnot, everybody else is having a destination and they don't have any destination whatsoever, and like Sokka's just getting mad, and it's like, yes, we are going over here. We're going to Amashu. And they just kept on getting super annoyed. He's getting super annoyed that they're not listening. It's like, it sounds like you're going to Amashu. It's like, that's what I've been trying to say to you the whole freaking time. It's like, I'm like, but it just, yeah, you have to see the episode because it's just like literally hilarious. Just, but like they're so calm, and Sokka's just getting all hot headed. And at the end, I'm not going to spoil the end of the episode, but what they say is hilarious to me because that's all I'm going to say there.
And then I have a question. Yeah. What do you think about, because I haven't seen much of it, but this new show they got out about Aang and what's her name's kid?
Katara?
Is that the Netflix one?
Legend Korra?
A Legend of Korra or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. I like it. It's been a while since I've seen it. I've only watched it one time through when it was on TV. I didn't see it a second time. Not because I didn't like it, but I couldn't find a place to watch it. And when Netflix had it, I didn't watch it in time enough to see it again.
Okay.
Not that
I just saw that it was out, and I never was a big fan of those shows, like, or movies kind of whenever they branch off and take away from the main character and go to something else, like kind of like what they did with Spider-Man. They had the perfect
same
Spider-Man.
Name Peter Parker.
Yeah, like, dang, or they had a Peter name. They had a Peter Parker, and then they brought in some random dude, and they were like, this is Peter Parker, and we're like, no, it's not. Like, what are you doing?
Don't you give him, like, a different name? It was like, I don't know, Joe Parker. It could be Peter Parker's brother. Right? I don't care, but, you know, like, come on. I was like, really? I haven't seen any other Spider-Man movies except for the original, and, yeah.
You haven't?
If I'm gonna be that guy in this discussion, I was a big into comics growing up, and like when I was big into Image and stuff, and seeing like every time Image did something different and new, I was that guy. I'd be like, okay, let's grab. Like I've already read all the previous versions of this, whether it was Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, whatever it was. I was always about it. So when they introduce, you know, like Miles or like Joe, whoever it was, I was all like, even the 90s, because like my older brother had Spider-Man. This is a tangent. I'm sorry. I'm totally going off topic here. But like, no matter what it was, I was ready for it. So I give some leeway with this stuff, whether it's whether it's like Star Wars and like The Mandalorian and everything, like I'll give leeway for the beginning of it, like the first half. And if you don't get me in the first half, then I'm right there with Tucker. I'm like, what the hell are you like? What, like Boba Fett that's on Disney Plus? I was like, what do you do? And like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I'll give you guys leeway, but you have to earn, like you have to earn the other half of the leeway. And most of the time I'm with Tucker, like they don't. But I don't know with this one, I haven't seen The Legend of Korra yet, and I haven't even seen the Netflix, has it come out yet? I can't remember if it, I know I had seen something about the Netflix like remake or like
of Avatar.
Well, yeah, it was like a series or something that was did it come out? I don't remember.
No, it did not come out yet. They're still working on something.
Okay.
And that's funny that you brought it up, because that's going to be my next question. What do you think of the Netflix live version of Avatar The Last Airbender? Because, well, what I read about it, the cast supposed to... They said the cast has a long history of acting, and they have good personalities for
the characters. Let me stop you.
Hold on. Let me finish this thought. Hold on. but where I'm going to say that they don't have the original creators that were on board originally, but then they walked away. They don't have the guy who does all the animal sounds, like from Appa and Momo, and they don't have the original music to the show. So I'm kind of curious, how are you going to pull it off, Netflix? It sounds like it's going to suck, to be honest.
I don't know. You started it off bad. I don't know if you've ever been set up on a date, but if your friend says, bro, she's got a great personality, you're in for a bad day.
Tucker, I've been on dates with lots of nice women. I want with great personalities, but there was never a second date, is what I'll say. All right.
I think I'm on the top.
He's like, she was so nice. It didn't take her long to leave. But,
it's a great first date. It was also a great last date. That's all I'm going to say.
So I have not seen this. I did not know. So there is a net, like, is it episodes or is it a movie?
It's not even out yet. So,
yeah, I heard about it a little while ago, and I forgot about it until we started talking about it. Like, I think it was going to be like an adaptation or a continuation. I can't remember what I saw. About or like continued from or adapted from the old series, right? Like it was supposed to be a TV show. I think it wasn't a movie. I don't think. I could be all mixed up now. It's been a minute since I've seen either the discussion about it or like the fan.
I can't figure it out by the text or anything or any of the articles I read, because they didn't tell me whether or not if it was the movie or TV show or whatnot. As I. At least when you talk about it, hey, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be a TV show.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know Crazy Fitness Guy is not backed by any corporate company and is just a one-person show? Well, there's this term around the podcasting community called indie podcasters. I'm an independent podcast creator, so... Because I'm not backed by a huge big corporate company, well, if I run out of money and everything else, Crazy Fitness Guy would no longer exist. No website, no podcast, no nothing. If you want to help support the show and keep our lights on, consider becoming a premium podcast member of Crazy Fitness Guy's premium podcast. You get behind-the-scenes access, early access to shows, private Discord server, and premium Discord roles, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year.
You know what it probably was, Jimmy? It was probably that they were testing they had the rights to Avatar, but they were testing the waters to see what people were ready for with Avatar. I want to say the M. Night Shyamalan film came out, early 2010s, like 2009, 11 time frame, somewhere like it had to have been around that time. And so
I would say it's like maybe around like maybe like 2011 because I think that's when the show ended.
Yeah,
it says here, I just looked it up, it says here that they shut the project down.
They shut the Netflix one down.
Yeah.
Oh damn.
Are you well, sure?
Well, that, yeah. I mean, I guess that answers that. I mean, I feel like, because to finish that point, I think it was like after, it was a little while after the film had come out, and they were like, look, people absolutely loved the TV show. They absolutely hated the film. Maybe there's a middle ground that we can get, that can get like a wide audience onto the characters and like story of the show, but also not completely mess up everything that everybody loved about the show.
I think Tucker's lying because I was just
the title of the article was misleading. It was the original creators of the series are not involved with the Netflix live action project.
So is it going through or not? What's happening? Yes, with that?
It's going through, but I read it wrong. The project is going through, but the people that created Avatar have nothing to do with it.
When does it say, like, where are you reading this from? Is it when it's going to like drop or when they?
It's Netflix's info, like, okay. What's on Netflix? Avatar: Last Banner live action Netflix series. Everything we need to know so far.
I trust that.
Man, it's just articles, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. No.
I'm sorry, I had something in my throat.
It sounded like, you know what? Do you mean, have you been COVID swabbed yet? Have you been tested? Because that sounded a little like dry coffee, you know? I'm just.
Yeah. He's like, what kind of coffee?
That's fake news.
As healthy as Jimmy is, like as active as he is, crazy fitness guy that he is, he's going to be fine.
It's impossible. Look, like my snack is Majul dates. Like, I'm invincible. What do you mean?
If anybody's not going to get the vid, it's going to be Tucker.
Okay. So one of the things I want to talk about in Avatar: The Last Airbender, and I'm going to be very specific on this, and feel free to chime in, both of you, anybody on the comments later on, or I want to hear. So one of the things that I've noticed, and even though I've watched the show over 100+ times, I really think I have watched it that many times. Hey, don't make fun of me, Tucker. It's a really good show.
I'm not. It's a great show. Devotion, bro. My friend. Like,
hey,
like,
you know what?
I'm shocked.
You know, I like it. I watch it a few times.
I have friends that can name every one of the Pokemans or whatever you call them, okay? So...
Jimmy's like guilty.
But one of the things I want to point out, and that I've watched it closely, but one of the things after taking this one of my courses in college last semester, movies, meanings, and methods, it got me to look at stuff more closely when you look back at stuff and look at certain stuff in like TV shows or movies. And one of the things I was looking at in the show that comes up later in the third season at some point, I'm not going to name the episode, even though I know the episode name, because I don't want to spoil it for everyone. But there's this... there's one episode called The Earth King. At the very beginning of that episode, you see that the gang reunites with Appa. I'm not going to say why they had to reunite with Appa, because people who didn't see it, I don't want to give it away, like I said. They reunite with him on this island that happens to be in the middle of nowhere. And by that, I mean there's no land surrounding it, like Kyoshi Island. They had land all over the place and it was connected, and you can see around the island and there's different parts of the island and whatnot. This was just blank in the middle of nowhere that's surrounded by just water. And I kind of wonder if it was this sea lion turtle that comes in later for season three, and I'm not going to say why it comes in this, that I don't know if it is that island, but it has the same exact shape, has the same exact size, and I kind of wonder if it's that, because it, in my opinion, matches up with the timeline, because it's right in there near the Earth Kingdom where they are, and it gets there by season three when Aang has to face the Fire Lord.
So my question is, what is the significance of it if it is the same island?
Well, I don't know if I can give that away. Let's see if I can get... the reason why I say the significance is that it would just, like, it would... I don't know if there's a significance, but I really feel like that there's, like, just a time... If my timeline is correct, and I kind of wonder if that's the same island, because... Because when I saw it the other times, I just thought it was just a random creature in the middle of the ocean and whatnot. But then when I just saw that island in the middle of the ocean again in the season two,
is it a giant turtle?
Yeah, it's a giant freaking turtle.
Okay. What are we talking about now? Yes, I remember you talking about now. Okay. Yeah. Well, it probably is the same island. I mean, it's a turtle. It can move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but because it moves so slowly, I kind of wonder if it just got to the Earth Kingdom. Let's make it our way to the Fire Nation, too. And then you don't know if it's that same turtle, and you don't see the turtle in season two, but I'm kind of guessing that's the island, and I would love to see if anybody would chime in on chat or anything, because
maybe he's awesome. Trying to find his turtle homeboys, you know what I'm saying? He's sad, and he's like, man, I'm so slow, and I took a wrong turn 300 years ago, and I've been trying to correct it ever since.
Trying to get home.
Damn it, Tucker. The checks out again. The math
does, man. He's like, did I take a ride at this iceberg? Global warming.
Darn it. Oh, that was the Titanic. Shoot, I'm sorry. Big boat.
Well, so no one can comment on that. Let's just move on. But I just want to leave it there, out there, for people to chime in later, because I would love to see the comments later on this live stream and podcast and see what people think, because I feel like I'm onto something. And one of my other friends pointed, who also just watched that recent episode along with me, on his own time, but he said, like, I think you're right. And it was like, I know, I'm really freaked out. I'm not always right.
I like you. Sound like me whenever I came up with my theory as to where all the zombies in The Walking Dead came from, and then I shared that theory with the actor that plays Eugene in the show, and it blew his mind because he was like, "That's the most accurate theory I've heard." Yeah.
Okay, so in your guys' opinion, I know the title of this live stream is five reasons why people should watch a show. If it's more than five reasons, that's fine. And explain your reasoning for each reason. So I'm going to start with you, Tucker.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to have five?
You can have five, you can have one, you can have two, you can have three, you can have
four, you're
at 8, 9, 10, 11.
So
let's see.
So let's give one. One is it's unique. So it's one of those animes that is, I am not a fan of overly dramatic anime. Like, everything that comes out of your mouth should not be, you know what I mean? Like, that's just me. Okay. And Avatar, they did a great job of not doing that. Every now and then, you know, what's his name? Sudoku or the Sokka. Yeah.
Sokka.
Sudoku. Yeah. I don't know if Jen called Sudoku.
Same thing.
Sokka, he gets a little crazy around every now and then, but it's not that bad. And then it's different in the fact that it uses the elements. And one thing that I really loved, like I trained ninjutsu a long time ago, and I dabbled in other arts, but one of the things that I really always admired was the Shaolin monks. Like just the way that their form and everything that they do, but everything that they do is revolved around aspects of nature. And that was what I really enjoyed about the show, is they did a wonderful job of combining the proper styles of martial arts with the elements that they were using. And I just really think I really liked that aspect of it. So I guess that'd be my reason for watching it, is it's well done, it's well crafted, and it's unique. It's not like what you would expect out of an anime.
Okay, that makes sense. So we got a comment on the screen, and I don't know what NGO stands for. Is there an episode with NGO in it?
NGO is my name-o.
Ningo is his name-o? I don't know.
Don't say Ningo.
I have no idea what that means.
I think it's a bad word in some language.
Himdi mixed Mickey.
NGO.
Yeah, I'm lost there. Jimmy, you'd be way better suited to decipher this, but yeah.
I'm gonna find it. So Hermes, what is your reasons for why people should watch this show?
So in the same vein that Tucker said, is that it is unique in that I think the same way that, like, even in a lesser extent, but in the same vein that Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z was, like, approachable to, like, new audiences who are not familiar with anime and ready to just dive into anime. Because I love a lot of different animes, but I definitely hear it, what Tucker's saying, like, you can't, if you're brand new, you can't just go head first into even like Ghibli series, like you just really can't. Some of them take a little time to like progress into. So I think Avatar is a great first step for a lot of people, and I think that is a balance that they struck really nicely in the way that they approached it, whether it was like, you know, the voice acting or even the animation style isn't like overtly seriously or heavily anime, quote unquote anime style, because it's like a broad genre, but it's not, you don't immediately look at that and think, oh my god, that's anime straight out of, like, you know, Japan or something. You think that's more of like, oh, that's a Nickelodeon, you know, cartoon, and that's really approachable to young kids, especially when I was a young kid. So that, which goes into my second point of, if you're like a kid at heart like I am, you know, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can go back and enjoy a lot of these animation series for what they were, in even new lights that you can appreciate that you couldn't as a kid. So even if you miss like the nostalgia factor of Avatar, you can still see it today, which I've revisited a couple times, and it's still great. It's still amazing. It still has, you know, it still has drama. It still has fucking, sorry, romance. I really
try. He's like, yes.
Sorry, I get passionate. I really sorry. It has everything you need in a show in so many broad senses that really anybody, adult, kid, and that's another thing. The third point that I would say, I don't know if I have all five, Jimmy, but another point, or the last point I would say, is if you're like me and you grew up watching this, unlike me, if you ended up having kids down the road, you could show this to your kids and you both could approach it and bond over it and enjoy it. And as an adult, you could enjoy it in a new light, like I said, but as a kid, you can enjoy it for the first time, and you as an adult could see like the light in somebody's eyes as they see that first Avatar essence, you know, emerge, and that first navy gets sworn. Like, that is just, there are so few movies or series out there that you can really do that on a generational
you know, like gap. So I like Avatar. I mean, it's not the only one out there, but it is one of the, especially for me, one of the big ones of my that I can point to that it, you know, is just so accessible to so many out there.
That's very true. And the one last thing I add to my list is visually speaking, I personally love Japanese culture, and at some point I'm going to move to Japan. I love everything about the mountain ranges, just how they do their structures, and just in general.
I got some tips for you. I got some tips for you.
The show. What's that?
I got some tips for you from someone who's been over there. I got some tips for you after the show that we can talk about.
Okay, wonderful. So in the show, one of the things that I noticed when I was watching and that I always looked forward to was the temples. Something was so enticing about, like, for instance, the abandoned air temples. Like when they went there, I like going to places like that in real life. That's something that I like going to mountains and exploring caves. I like exploring through the forest and finding waterfalls that weren't like on the tourist map or whatever, you know what I mean? And the show does a great job of every time it goes to a new place, it's like it pops. It's really like, wow, look at that. You know? So yeah, there's that.
Well, I think my reasons, I think maybe I have five. I don't know. Let's see how far I get. I would have to say, and I'm going to say something different besides the two of you, because you guys are just bouncing stuff off each other.
Oh, wow. Okay, Jimmy. All right. I didn't know you were throwing shade tonight.
Oh, man. We're not on a level, bro.
I know. I agreed. I already knew that coming into this. Dang.
I'm just kidding. Or not. One of the reasons why I think people should watch it is because it, even though it has like real life lessons that go along with the show, they don't talk at you. Like there's a lot of shows these days on TV and whatnot that talk at you about like political matters, and I'm not going on the political rant, so we're not going there. There's no politics on this show, and it's never going to be on this show. But
I'll do a phenomenal job.
So one of the things it doesn't talk at you. It just takes you on an adventure. Like as a kid, yeah, you know that there's, and during the show there's a war going on and whatnot. So you get that feeling and whatnot, but they're not talking at you like, oh, you should be living like this, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. They just take you on an adventure. They don't like just point fingers at you. It's like you're just the worst person on life and whatnot, and yeah, whatever. But so that's my first reason. My second reason, I would say, it just has a lot of humor in it at times, even though that a lot of it could be dark if the creators wanted it to be very, very dark. For instance, like I noticed like Sokka has a lot of sarcasm, and I like his sarcasm, and some of it like falls flat, but it is funny how some of it falls flat. And I just think it just brings a nice balance, and then not just like, we're just going to have this huge series topic for three seasons and there's nothing to it. And I think that's one of the things I liked about the show, is that they had a nice balance of humor, adventure, friendship, and whatnot. My third reason, I would say, I think it's really meant for, it could be great for all ages. Like it's good for like adults, teenagers, kids, because like I don't think I've ever heard anyone say like, oh, I would never let my kid watch this. And it's like, but what's wrong about it? It's not like,
I actually did hear that the other day.
Who?
Really? Yes, and I went off I got so angry.
No cursing.
It was one person.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Did this and said that, and they said that it wasn't appropriate for kids because it was violent. And I was like, your kids are going to be weenies.
We're going to leave it at that.
I'm just kidding. Okay. Before I finish up my last few whys people should watch the show, how is it violent? Just out of curiosity, I get that there's fighting, but I
not even technically, because if you look at all
combat, much blood in it.
No. If you look at
Dicker's head,
that's why I mentioned Tai Chi and not like combat martial arts, because they're not making contact with anyone. They're moving, and elements are making contact with each other. Like, you know.
Yeah, and it's not like it's all blood and guts. It's like when Azula hit Azuka on the forehead in one of the episodes, there's a little streak of blood. Okay, yeah, he has a burnt eye. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, there's fighting scenes, but I've seen a lot more violent than that. Well, hell, man, I ran the water on the freaking head of a game, man. It was more violent than that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's the thing, man. Hey, some folks just, that's just how they are. But I mean, the way I see it is like, what are they going to do? Grow up thinking that you don't get your butt whooped. You don't, nothing happens.
Some people never do, Tucker. I mean, be surprised. More people don't than do these days. So. I don't know. I mean,
I guess I come from a different world where.
I hear you. I'm on that same one. But at the, like, I don't know. I think it comes down like what you started with. Like, I mean, I guess your kids are going to be a bunch of weenies, and today
I thought I was going to say something else.
Today
I was, and I changed it at the last second.
Today there's a lot of weenies, and you know, I guess that's okay, but. It is what it is. Nonetheless, it is what it is. So if there's a lot of weenies out there, sorry, this is like, they're like the one demographic this show isn't for. But by and large, this show is for like 98% of non-weenies out there.
Is snowflake the political correct term for the weenie?
I don't know anymore.
I like weenie a lot better, honestly.
I like weenie better.
Yeah, I like
weenie with that.
Weenie Hut Juniors is I like...
Okay, no SpongeBob recipe.
I was just fixing to go into it, and he was like, are you you're a goober.
So, okay, so my next two, I would say, well, in my opinion, I'm going to say it's not violent because it's not really much blood and guts and glory and whatnot. Yeah, there's fighting scenes, but they're bending. And I'm going to compare it to, like, okay, I'm not going to compare, but like compare to, let's say, a crime show investigation on TV. Yeah, you don't see a body with a pool of blood around it. No. But you know, I'm not saying fighting is the greatest, but you know, I mean, like, not violent, but okay, you know, still, there's a lot of other crap on my TV. What?
Nat Geo is more violent than the Avatar.
Yeah, probably. I've never seen that, but
agreed.
You've never seen Nat Geo,
like where the lions eat the wildebeest, or like,
yeah,
you know, like, eat their. Okay, see, I can't even describe what the lions do because of how graphic it is sometimes.
How do you think that the lions find the gazelles? The cameraman show them where it's at.
That's a joke, obviously.
Jimmy looked at me like, really? I had no idea.
Tucker, I didn't want to be the only one who laughed, so I had to like hold back from the. I leaned back from the microphone because I didn't want to. I was like, oh no, is this good or is this bad? Let me just lean back. But at 100%, it's just like Man versus Wild. It's 100%.
I think the other reason why people should watch it is because, you know, I feel like it's motivational at times too, because, like, you know, even though that pretty much that nothing is in their favor, because pretty much the whole Fire Nation is winning the war, and everyone else in the world is like, yeah, we could literally just give up and quit and whatnot. They decided to get, like, it's basically like a true underdog story. Like, they could literally just give up, not even go after the Fire Nation. You know, let them win. They decided, you know, with all the odds against us, let's go kick some butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very hopeful.
Wow.
Very political, like you said, Jimmy, without getting too political. I wasn't good, you know, but yeah, I like the allegory of it, if you want to put it there, you know?
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I didn't think of this show as political. And then when he said that, I was like, what? Hey, it looks like they're having a tea party to me.
They're hitting Normandy hard with those shores that they're in.
Well, and I also have to say that there's a lot of wisdom from Uncle Iroh in this, which is Zuko's uncle. Who?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And so there's a lot of wisdom to learn from him, and I wish I could laugh at some. You know, every time when he, I think, is Zuko has insulted him many times during the show, and yet I think, I wish I could be that level-headed like he could, because, like, man, I don't know if I could, if somebody insulted me like that, I was like, I don't think I could take it.
Well, think about it like this. Here's the thing. He's a master, and one of the things that you gotta understand is, no matter what insults that kid throws at him, if he really bucked up and he really tried something, he would get put on his tail. And the old man knows that.
Exactly.
So he ain't got to be loud. He ain't got to be all that. He just drank his tea, and it ain't never cold.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't have said it better, Tucker. That's the one thing you learn as like a young man when you get like all that testosterone and a little bit of strength as like a teenager, and your dad just sort of like nips that in the bud. He's just like, okay, like you may be thinking you're something now, but I was there just like your grandfather was there at one time, but nothing, a youth will never compare to experience. And that's the vibe I get from Uncle the entire show. He's just like, I understand what you're saying. And like, I've been there. I've thought that. I've done that. And let me tell you why you're wrong, okay? I don't have to actually show you why you're wrong, but you're wrong, okay? And let me just walk you through these steps, you know? And I love that wisdom, though. Like Jimmy was saying, I love that whole character that Uncle is beautiful in the entire show, encapsulated in like the politics of it, almost the action of it, in that he doesn't, like, it's like a slow burn. He doesn't ever have to necessarily do anything for you to really know that he's serious or really knows what he knows what he's talking about. You know, it's like, okay, I see you, Uncle. I see you. You know, I love that aspect of his character. He might be one of my favorite characters for that reason alone, you know?
So, like, one of my favorite things that Uncle Iroh has said in the show, one of my favorite things that I liked about him in one of the episodes is that, like, I remember where he turned around, got the captain to turn around Prince Zuko's ship, and like they need to stop it. He's playing this pie show game against the crew members, and he lost the as a White Lotus tile, and like Zuko knows like they were going off course, and I was like, what's the meaning of this, Uncle? And I was like, do you have news of the Avatar? And he's like, no, this is more important. And Zuko's like, and I was like, what's more important than finding the Avatar? And it's like, well, I'm missing my White Lotus tile from this pie show game. And it's like, and he's like, you turned around the ship for a stupid pie show tile? And it's like, well, like most people, and it's like, you underestimate this, the I forget what he said there, but he, like, he forgot
the power of a single piece or something.
Yeah, and then what he did, and then like Zuko gets so like he basically like he got really pissed off, and steam just came out of his nose and everything, and he heated up the whole captain's room of the ship and everything, and then Uncle just shrugged his off, and he's like, "I'm so glad I have an understanding nephew." And I'm like, "That's understanding."
Exactly.
And really that's like that control, and that is a beautiful aspect of it. That is, like he was saying, that's one of the, he's probably, now that he said that, now that I'm thinking about it, he's probably one of my favorite characters as well, just because of that level of control. And that's another thing too, is that, and I preach this to people like somebody on a milk crate, and that is, stop being in such a hurry. Because that's what he was preaching right then, is you underestimate the power and the importance of a single piece, and you're in such a hurry to get back to where you are, is what he's telling you. Because he's like, we're going to go back and we're going to get that other piece. And where, if you really think about it, in the grand scheme of things, over a few years period, how much did that really change your journey? It's kind of like when people go to get groceries, and I see this all the time, and people go to get groceries or they go to run errands, and if you've got some time that you have to make, and you have to get back and get to it at that time, I understand most of the time people don't, and they're like, oh, we gotta hurry, we gotta get it done, gotta hurry up and get there, oh, I mean, no, I get there, you gotta hurry up and shop, gotta hurry up and do this, gotta hurry up and do that, and then rush to get gas, and then rush home to go back home and watch TV or whatever. And people rush through every single day, or rush through the work week to get to payday, and they forget the most important aspect is that joy and happiness comes from the time in between the journey itself, not the actual destination. And that's what the uncle was preaching in that episode right there, is that take, like, why in such a hurry? Why in such a rush? Like, why is something that's small not important to you? Because it's inconvenient.
So, before we wrap up, I want to ask three more questions. And my first question to you guys: what if you had a? I like this one question that I saw on Facebook by another company, and I'm gonna use the question because I like it, and I'm sure that they won't mind because it's not like whatever. They
it's like, sue me. Like, try it.
Hey, yeah, it's not, it was on a Facebook post. It's not like it had anything to do with something particular to their platform. It's just a general
question. Bug life.
So, if you could only watch one show for the rest of your life, what would that show be, and why?
I'm not answering this first.
Oh, no.
Need a minute.
So, I don't know what my answer is.
Okay. So is this a trick question, Jimmy?
Nope.
I feel like it feels like this is a trick question.
It's not a trick question.
If it's not, okay. You go first, Jimmy. You set us up for this. So you go first.
You step on this IED.
Yeah, it was right. A trick question. He's like, crap. Oh no, it's because it was.
So obviously, I'm just gonna say Avatar: The Last Airbender, because I've literally watched it 100 plus times, and I probably will watch it another 100 plus times. So,
okay, where's the why though? Where's the why?
Why is because it's my favorite show, and it just goes together amazingly. And I've been reading all the comic books that happens after the show, and I just love the show. I don't think anybody else can do it better than what their creators did. And yeah, the bar is set so low for Netflix. If they lose to M. Night Shyamalan, I'm going to laugh so hard.
Well, their opera looks pretty good. I saw a picture of Aang like standing out on some ice area with Appa floating, and it looks pretty good. But that's just a picture, so it might not be part of the screen show. Who knows?
So, I
don't know. I'm gonna say I love the Avatar, but I couldn't, like, unless they continually came out with new content, I could not watch it over and over again. I can't watch something more than once or twice because I don't know about you, but I have an idyllic memory, and I don't have that pleasure of forgetting what's going to happen next.
I have a memory.
So anyway, I would say Blacklist. And the only reason I say that is because it is a repetitive show, and I know the repetitiveness makes people want to throw up, but Raymond Reddington is, I know you're not supposed to do this, but I idolize that man, like, I know he's just a character, but I mean, it's even the background on my phone is Raymond Reddington's quote, "Value loyalty above all else." Like, everything like about that dude is awesome.
Okay, you know, I got one quote from the Blacklist that stuck out for me. Agent Wrestler. I remember he's saying to Elizabeth Keen one time, right? He's like, yeah, you might hate Reddington, but you gotta give him the guy credit. And it's like, at least he follows through with his promises.
And that's the thing, he always does. Like, Reddington won't lie to you, but he will change the subject. He won't, like, if he tells you he's gonna do it, he does it. If you cross him, he kills you. Like, there's no, like, he's just one of those guys that you're like, wow, like, that'd be a really cool person to meet. I mean, you know, and
let's keep it PG here.
I mean, that is PG. He's a character. It's not real. Like, it's not like in real life that would be a cool that the guy is a psychopath, but his principles are in the right place. I mean, you steal $10 million, you don't exactly get a swatting for that. I mean, that's my favorite show, just because Reddington's one of those guys that once you watch him after a few episodes, it makes you walk with your chest out for a little while.
I'm gonna be honest, before I created this and decided to do this whole Avatar thing, I was gonna say the Blacklist, but just because I really do like the show too, but again, I can only pick one, so I just decided to do what just came to my mind
naturally. So, so what was your? I know this has nothing to do with the show Avatar: The Last Airbender, but did you get at least a little excited when you heard there was a movie coming out called Avatar, and then?
And found out it wasn't Avatar the Last Airbender.
Yeah, but did it break your heart at all? Was it like,
let's just say I cried. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I went like right my eyes out, and
oh my god, you didn't think that was a good movie?
I'm there with Jimmy. I didn't think it was a good movie. I didn't think either one. I didn't think the blue Avatar, and I didn't think M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar.
I wasn't talking about now Shyamalan.
I knew you were talking about. Cameron's Avatar, and I thought that was garbage too. It was less garbage than Shyamalan.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Were you on mushrooms or LSD when you watched the movie?
You know,
I had a question though. Are you talking about M. Night Shyamalan version or James Cameron?
I don't know who's who at this point. I just know there's blue people and there's midgets with sticks that move rocks. Okay, like what? More do you want from me?
$1 billion, please.
Yeah, that'd be great. Tucker, if you can expend half of that, I'll take that too. I don't need the whole billion. I'll take 500 million.
Okay. Hermes Egan asks, what would be your show that you can only watch that you can watch until you die?
Sure. So mine, I don't know if you guys have seen it. It was only on for one season. It had Jack Black and Tim Robbins in it. It was called The Brink on HBO. It was a political based TV show. It was so funny. It was like satirical and very poignant in the time and place that it was airing. It was a shame that it only lasted one season, but I watched it as it came out on HBO. It was right around the same time as, like, I want to say season 5 or 6 of Game of Thrones. And so I was deep into Game of Thrones.
That's probably why they canceled it.
Maybe it didn't make as much. Yeah, it was kind of overshadowed by Game of Thrones, maybe. But I was deep into Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones started to disappoint me after season 5. And so I looked at other HBO shows, and Brink was airing for the very first time. And I saw the trailer, and I was really interested in the premiere and everything. I got into it. It was really great. It had, I want to say, 10 episodes, and it was phenomenal, but it didn't get picked up for season 2. So I was really disappointed in that. I think it could have done a lot of great things. So I could watch season 1. I've had like 3-4 times already. I could watch that until the end of time. And Jack Black as a character is amazing. It's
like he's the main character.
Yeah, he is. And then, like, Jeff Bridges, so he's like he's a CIA agent or operative who has never seen field work, and so he gets put in the field at the direction of Tim Robbins, who's like a very I don't want to say rich, but very like entitled elite of the CIA. He's like a foreign affairs advisor or something for the CIA. So he puts him deep into the field. Jack Black, being who Jack Black is not prepared for the field at all. So he gets kidnapped immediately. He gets waterboarded immediately, and he's making jokes the whole time. And is like, what is going on? And then like after he gets waterboarded, they're talking about like, all right, so who do you work for? He's like, all right, I'll tell you everything. I work for the CIA. I work for this one guy who put me out here.
Where can I watch this?
I want to say HBO, but I don't, honestly, I haven't had an HBO subscription in a while, so I don't know if they even have
it. Oh, make a fake account just so I can get the free trial. And
it is so worth it. It is, and each episode is like 40 minutes long, so it's a quick binge. It is amazing. Jack Black kills it, and everybody else in that show is amazing. There's slide plots and subplots and everything that are, like I said, very poignant, very funny. Very smart script. So I'm really sad it didn't continue. But even though it didn't continue, it's still worth watching for the one season. It's great.
You know, I think you would really enjoy my favorite show of all time, Blacklist.
I've seen Blacklist. Absolutely.
Yeah, Blacklist is great. But for some reason, this slipped my mind, and this is the show of all shows, and I don't care what anyone says, it's the best thing that's ever been created, and that's Rick and Morty.
Yes, Rick and Morty. I have that on the loop. My wife watches it back to back to back to back. She'll start the whole first season, end with, what is it, the fifth season now, fourth season, and she'll just start it again. She'll just start it again.
The reason I love it is like this, is because Jimmy and I don't know about you, but Jimmy and I are Aspies, and Rick is an Aspie, and if an Aspie becomes God, you have Rick.
Only I love the letters of that show. The fact that I feel like they even knew that fact too is the best part about the show. Is like anybody who watches that show finds something new that I was like, even somebody who's into astrology will look at that show and be like, oh, did you see? Oh, they did a nod to, you know, Leo and Taurus. I'm like, I never would have guessed. But every single layer on that thing is so crafted and so well done that Rick and Morty right up there.
No, I have not seen it.
My God, you haven't seen Rick and Morty. What is wrong with you? Are you American? Stop this video right now. Get your life together. Go grab some popcorn and unhealthy soda treats and get it popping.
what Tucker said.
Okay, you know, I'll watch it this weekend then.
All of it.
Absolutely will. Evil Morty, when Evil Morty shows up, you're not even gonna know what to do. I'm telling you. When he swirls that whiskey in his hand, oh my gosh. No spoilers.
You already spoiled it, so
it's not a spoiler. That's something.
No, it's not a spoiler. It's not a spoiler. He said, "What is that? That is a glowing rock. There are no gods."
Let's just watch interdimensional cable. You don't matter. I don't matter. Life doesn't matter. Let's just watch interdimensional cable.
These are doors, and if you come over here, we have more doors. And when you open this door, it goes to a door. And
this isn't fair. This isn't fair to Jimmy right now. This is not fair to Jimmy.
The last question, is, if you could be... If you had to pick one bending element, which would be and why?
That's tough. I don't know that I would necessarily.
You wouldn't want to bend? You'd be a bender?
No, I really, because like, look what happened. Like, I don't know. Because I answer this question the same way I answer like superhero questions. Like, what would be your power? I'm like, I feel like there's a reason we make up these things to exist in fiction. Cause like, I don't know that these are good. Every time a story plays out, it's not all like, there's this huge bit of struggle, you know, like you got to lose Uncle Ben or you gotta,
he got hit in the head too many times.
I think
I would go with earthbending.
I'm out of this one. I don't know. I want to be the cabbage guy. I want to be the cabbage guy. Just keep smashing into my cabbage cart.
He's gonna hit every time.
Just keep crashing into my cabbage cart. That's all I want. I don't need any bending.
whoever is funding all these cabbages.
That's great.
Got a good plan going.
Obviously, somebody is because he keeps rebuilding that cart. So something like.
I know.
What's true motivation?
That is, I want to be that guy. He's got it figured out.
He really
got one purpose in life.
It's funny. Like comic books, I'm going to spoil this. He finally got his cabbage business indoors. He has cabbage cookies, cabbage tea, cabbage everything. I'm like, who wants a cabbage cookie?
Well, I mean.
I tried it from that guy because, like, tell you what, he is determined. So I'm guarantee you he's made something tasty out of all the cabbage experience that he
has. No one came up and learned enough of the devil's cabbage. You will eat anything.
I will neither confirm nor deny Tucker's statement there.
But to answer your question, I would have to go with earthbending, and it's a big pull between earthbending and waterbending because
you're wrong. You're immediately wrong. Nope.
How to start a debate on the internet. You're wrong.
You're wrong. Let me tell you.
So the reason I say that is because, first of all, right now I'm sitting on 1,200 acres. Like, I live in the middle of nowhere, and I grew up in the mountains. I grew up around creeks, and I spend most of my time sitting on rocks around water and things like that. And I think it would just be really cool for there to be that legend of the old redneck in the hills that moves rocks.
Like the amount of crawdads you could catch, just
would be so gangster. You know how many catfish?
Unmatched.
It would be unreal, man. I mean, I'm telling you, you sit there like you want to make a mudslide. You got that. I mean,
as I said, the math checks out. Since day one, minute one of this conversation, the math checks out. Tucker, you are infallible.
I mean, who's more gangster than the guy throwing rocks? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd make Jesus angry. I would throw so many stones. It would just be biblical. It would be awesome.
I would say I would have to go with earthbending because I would love to have Toph teach me metal bending. That would be right. So great because there was a few times, and I mean by a few times, I mean more than a few times, you know, So you know how some of those like stuff that like when you put together something and you like jam in the wrong place or get out of the freaking bar, it's like, man, why can't I pry the thing off?
Never. I've never done this.
I would not want him to be my
planet. Crap.
He's like, this isn't fitting right. Tank, 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 tank.
I'm just going to warp it.
Why is it not going through? Oh, wait, this is... They both look the same.
Is this the transmission or the brakes? I don't care.
Smash. He's like, Jimmy. No, Jimmy. You don't put the transmission through the radiator, Jimmy.
Smash.
Okay, so to finish up, do you guys, so where can people find you and learn about, learn
I'm in
more
Arkansas.
About who you are?
Tucker.
I'm in Arkansas.
He's an ox.
I mean, if you want to find me, I guess Google Maps is the best way to go about it.
I'm not on the internet. I'm like, gosh.
No, if you want to reach out to me, I mean, you can find me on Facebook. I don't know why, but Facebook will not allow you to add me. I guess it's because I haven't responded to the 2 million friend requests that are on there. Not literally, but you know what I mean? I don't know. It'll allow you to follow me, but you can shoot me a message on there. You can shoot me a email at tuckerbearden4321@gmail.com. I more than likely will see that. But 4321. Hey man, we got to keep it simple. We ain't over here doing rocket science. All right. We got 4321. There are, that's the most important numbers in the English language. Okay.
what's the one on Facebook so I can shoot you the 2 millionth and one message?
It's just look, if you Google Tucker Bearden, I dominate all of Google. You can find me. You'll probably find my phone number and address if you look hard enough. I'm so like
done and done. You're the first one on Facebook. I'm done.
Yes, definitely. I am the Tucker because there is another Tucker Bearden. He's running for Congress or some crap that don't matter. So don't pay him any mind.
No matter.
But yeah, so that's what you can reach out to me. And can I plug a thing or no?
Yeah, that's why I set you up for it, didn't I?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, look,
Ali,
calm down. Don't spat me on the jejunum. Offensive. All right, here we go. So anyway, if anybody needs help with your credit, I can help you out. Our credit repair is technically free, but our credit monitoring service is $40 a month. Most people, we fix it within 6 months. If you're really bad, 7 or 8. We've helped a lot of people get done. It is a family-owned business right here in Arkansas. And hit me up. I can hook you up with that. I can also hook you up with a unique banking opportunity that pays you 4 days a week, a proportion of company profits, just to have money in your account. So come hit me up and we'll make you some money and get your credit fixed. I can also get you funding once your credit's fixed. So that's cool too.
Hermes, you got anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to follow Tucker. He's actually helping people. I'm just talking crap online on the Scuttlebutt Podcast. So we're an active, two-thirds of our show, the Scuttlebutt Podcast, is active duty military. So we like to cover topics that are not able to be covered in uniform, even though we have opinions on it, whether it's politics, whether it's, addiction or mental health or whatever it is. We like to cover those topics that need a little bit more exposure. I'm also an artist myself, so I do a bunch of commission work. So you can find me on all the social media stuff at Hermes Auslander. It just like Tucker, it's like the first one that pops up. So if you Google my name, however you search it, you'll find me and you'll find the Scuttlebutt Podcast. It's pretty easy there. And little shorter, like I said, a little harder to follow than Tucker there. I'm not helping anybody out, but I'm very accessible. Tucker, I just sent you a friend request, so answer that one.
It let you?
answer that one. I don't know that it let me, but I clicked the button. So
no, I mean, it will. So it's like a 50-50 chance. Either it'll just like follow or it'll or it'll give you the option of following and adding. It's I don't understand.
I don't even use Facebook. I don't use Facebook enough to know. So I clicked it and then I sent you a message. So
we'll find out all the things. I see you. I see you, Hermes. Oh, how do you say your last name?
My actual last name's Auslanda.
Oh, I see why you shortened it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You can just call me Hermes. Hermes is a little easier.
Yes. Yes. Okay. man. Okay. Cool. We are officially friends.
We are friends. I'm making them slowly but surely.
Jimmy's like, I'm doing this thing. We're bringing people together.
Jimmy's like, shut up now so I can finish this show.
Hey, if you guys want to keep going all night, let's go keep going on, man.
We can keep going. He said that we can't get political, so I guess I won't like switch over to Donald Trump.
Let's go, Brandon.
No political. No.
Oh, I was joking. I don't actually get political, but I will get on here and be like, we're going to do a phenomenal job. I'll tweet about it later. I promise. I'm not orange.
That is so much better of an impression than I could do.
Yeah.
Cut the stream, Jimmy. Cut the stream.
Yeah. No comment. And
stop us. Stop us now.
Hey, it don't matter what side you're on. That's funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just saying. I'm just not gonna.
He's like, but I'm not laughing. So shut up, Tucker.
No, I find it funny. I'm just not going there. I'm just not going there. That's all.
I'm so sorry, Jimmy. We derailed your show like this. I've had one beer, and this is what happens.
I was wondering, is that root beer or beer? Oh.
Yeah, it's root beer.
That's Oliver. Get it right.
It's root beer.
I need a perfect class. So, thanks you guys for being on the show.
Thanks for tuning into Crazer Fitness by Healthy Living Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us be discovered by more people all over the world. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you get notified of every new show. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media at Crazer Fitness Guy and follow Jimmy Clare at Jimmy Clare Speaker or Jimmy Clare Speak. While you wait for another brand new episode, please go check out crazyfitnessguy.com. Check out the latest blog posts, events, sales, and more. Hope to see you again next time.
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle in my opinion because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask because it just sits on my desk and it just sits on my desk and reminds me, hey, you gotta drink water. And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Go to HydroFlask.com and use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you. Use the link below. And check out HydroFlask.com for more information.